Good afternoon. It's wonderful to be able to present God's Word to you this afternoon, and I really, really appreciate at least most of you are looking interested. Battling the stronghold, I'm going to let you say it, battling the stronghold of masturbation is the title of this pastor's message during this conference on sexual addictions and sexual problems within the church. Can you believe that? Bored and without much to do on a Saturday night, I was alone, this young man says in his story in Christianity Today magazine, Every Guy's Struggle. I was alone in the basement surfing through TV channels. Like snapshots with sound, the images flipped by rapidly, telling me that, as usual, there was not much of anything on TV. Then I hit a couple of numbers randomly, and suddenly I was staring at slightly blurred, but still you could make out, images of naked bodies having sex. The blurry reception told me our cable connection had picked up a station that wasn't part of our cable package. I glanced at the remote and then looked nervously toward the basement stairway. Was anybody coming? Did anybody see me? I knew I should change the channel, but instead I stared at the couple on the screen, watching them do what they were doing. Minutes passed before I clicked the remote, and in that short period of time, I had placed powerful images in my mind that would play over and over like a continuous instant replay. It wasn't the last time I turned to this, my secret channel. Throughout my junior year in high school, I'd find opportunities to watch it alone in the basement. Sexually excited by what I had seen with my eyes, I'd go into the bathroom and masturbate. Then suddenly this intense guilt would just come down upon me. I tried to stop. Sometimes I'd go weeks without watching that pornographic station. And even so, there were still other things that stimulated me sexually, and I didn't have to make any special effort to find them. It could be a model in a commercial. It could be a magazine ad on the grocery store shelf. Or maybe I would stare longer than I should be at a girl at school bending over, picking up books, or her midriff-bearing top or short dress. I'd find myself daydreaming about what I'd seen, and sometimes those images I neatly tucked into my brain for later so I could masturbate thinking about them. But whether or not I masturbated, I knew I'd let myself again do it, fall into lust. I agonized. I pleaded with God. God, forgive me. Please forgive me. Help me. I'm so sorry. But then I'd find myself giving in and letting my mind go places it should not. And the shame and the guilt dug into my soul deeper and deeper. During this time, I was really trying to live my faith, which included reading my Bible. I remembered reading through the book of Genesis and being surprised by the problems that many of God's people experienced. Apparently, God used less than perfect people, I thought, so maybe there's hope for me. Then I came to the incredible story of Joseph near the end of Genesis. I was pulled in by this story of a young man who was sexually harassed by a powerful and probably very attractive woman. She wouldn't leave him alone, yet he constantly ignored her advances. One time she approached him, grabbed him by his coat, and insisted, "Have sex with me, lie with me, lay with me." He didn't try to reason with her. He didn't pause to think about whether he should or shouldn't hang around. His first impulse was to get out of there, and quickly, he did it so quickly he left his coat behind. I prayed, "God, help me to be more like Joseph." That article out of every guy's struggle It's amazing. So few churches are willing to seriously confront the sin of masturbation. They either leave it up to the parents or they leave it up to sex education classes in school, which say it's okay. It's a form of release. I'm certain some people play the game ostrich head in the sand. They think that if you hide your head in the sand long enough, somehow, some way, the problem will just disappear by itself. It's just going to go away and I'll be all right. But that is not what happens. In fact, the problem usually gets worse if we don't confront it head on and deal with it. I kind of call it, there's a euphemism called what? Monkey on your back? How many ever heard the term? You got a monkey on your back. Yeah, at first he sits on your shoulder. He's little, one of those little rhesus monkeys they do scientific experiments with. Oh, isn't he cute? Look at him right here. Yeah. I'll get that, what is it when I put that peanut? Oh, yeah, it's in my pocket. And you know, all of a sudden, right? And you're kind of just, well, pretty soon you look the next day and in a week he's gotten a little bit heavier, and you're kind of walking like this. And then in about a month, you're continuing to still masturbate, and pretty soon you look behind, and, man, I don't think I can carry him anymore. Get off, and you're pushing him away, and he's not getting off anymore. And after years or several months, he's now formed into a big gorilla on your back. And you're almost crawling on the ground because he's so huge. And he's so big. This is what we're talking about. The monkey that's turned into a gorilla. And the person who's caught and ensnared in this terrible sin sooner or later becomes enslaved. And many a young person has seen their emotional health scarred and their love for God infected. Please listen closely. Please listen. Like any other sinful habit, you got to confront it. And the demons it has opened the doors to, they need to be what? Thrown out. The Greek word, when if it says Jesus, cast them out. He sent his disciples to cast them out. And guess what? The Greek word is ekbalo. It means to out of throw. Now let's say we decided to throw Larry Malone out right now. I said, Frank, you're a pretty hefty kind of fellow. Why don't you go and throw Larry out? Now, Larry probably won't want to go, but I want to be here. I came to this workshop. I paid good money for this, right? And then I said, well, Frank, Peter and Frank, why don't you throw him out? And he's not going to go out willingly. And they're going to have to take him by the scruff of the neck, and wham, they're going to have to throw him out. He's going to fight. That the demons do the same thing. But if you want real victory, you're going to have to do that, and so am I. While the word masturbation you will not find in the scriptures, I challenge you, go look it up. It's not in there. But I will also tell you that the Bible has a lot to say about the multifaceted thoughts and actions that precede and go with what is known as autoeroticism, autosexuality. Auto means self. Autosexuality, autoeroticism. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5. We're going to go through some scriptures, Ephesians 5, and let's look at verse 11. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Whenever I preach at this church or any church, I try and remind you, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the human heart. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's where God wants us ending up in, all good works. Ephesians 5, verse 11, this is the word of God, and do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. You think masturbation and lust that goes with it and everything else that attends is unfruitful work of darkness or is a fruitful work of righteousness? Tell me, would you mind doing it in front of Jesus if he's standing there? You say, what a horrible thought. Well, I have a worse thought for you. The Holy Spirit's in you watching. I love people who go into bars or strip joints. They look this way, And they look that away, and they look this way, but they don't look up. Oh, you are watching. Let me give you another one. They need to look in and say, whoa, there's someone inside there that you can't see in the spirit realm who is also watching, plus a couple of other 100 eyes that are watching you, right? Namely the enemy. Verse 11, but instead expose them, reprove them. That's what we're doing now. We're talking about masturbation that I believe probably everyone here, right, including myself, have had a problem with, right? I should probably ask, raise of hand, anybody who has never masturbated. I don't want to know. I want to think of you as just perfect and holy and so forth. Hey, Pastor, I don't know about you. You know, well, hey, it goes both ways, you know. If you knew some of the internal struggles that I have, you wouldn't want me to be your shepherd, or you wouldn't want to listen to me. But it works both ways, Margaret, because if I knew what your internal struggles and thoughts were, I wouldn't want to teach the Bible to you, probably, you know? So we're all in the same boat. We're all a mess. And isn't it nice that Jesus can put Humpty Dumpty back together with no signs of cracks? That's what he did in my life, and that's what he's doing in yours. Verse 12, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. It's amazing how men love, Jesus said what? Men love? They love darkness. That's why you go in these bars and stuff. Do they have a lot of light, you know, incredible candle wattage power? Everybody's, you know. What? No, it's all dark. It's all hidden. It's all, you can't even see each other. That's why I don't go into these places. I like to see what I'm eating. One of our jobs as followers of Messiah is to expose sin. We like to expose it in others. It's amazing when you get in deliverance, you want to go on demon safaris. Right? I mean, we all go on demon. You know where the biggest demon safari and sin safari we need to go on? Ourselves. Yeah. See, God wants to change me, not change everybody else. When he changes me, then no matter what anybody does, it doesn't matter. We should never hide our heads in the sand, but be willing to deal with these very secret areas which most churches won't even talk about. I mean, praise God, you can come to a place, I like to call agape a spiritual oasis of honesty. I mean, you can get prayer beyond the mass deliverance and say, hey, I am really struggling with, and you won't even tell anybody else, but you can tell your prayer partner. You can tell any of us, because we all deal with the same problems and same issues, and we can get freedom. How does masturbation usually begin? Good question. Often, early on in a person's life, usually during puberty, when people are changing into more young adulthood, sadly, with some, it begins even earlier through someone's sexual molestation of them. When they have an older person use them and abuse them sexually, or touch them and sexual arousal and awareness begins with them. A lot of your homosexuals end up in that lifestyle because they've been sexually aroused. Their first sexual experience was with another man. Or a male cousin. A lot of the women end up in lesbianism for the same reason, because their first sexual, and the demons connect, talk about demonic appointments. They will connect you. I was praying, I was doing a mini workshop in south of Worcester, Massachusetts, a number of years ago, and this young girl come forward. She wanted prayer, and she wanted, you know, she was getting prayer with another gal, and so I went up to them. I said, well, what's going on here? And kind of just trying to, you know, be the orchestrator of making sure everybody was on target, not talking too much and hitting the demons. I said, what's going on here? She said, well, we're attacking some sexual areas. And I said, well, what happened? And with tears in her eyes, she started explaining to me. She was in her mid-20s, late 20s by now. She explained to me, brother, her stepbrothers both forced her to perform oral sex on them. And I said, well, how often did this happen? And she says, well, you know, years. And I could see in her eyes that she was struggling with this, and this was like, you know, these were major, major strongholds. People, masturbation begins early on. If there's any sexual molestation, some people get into playing doctors and nurses and being checking each other out as brothers and sisters or as cousins and so forth. It begins early. I want to make a note here. There's a mistaken idea, and there's a notion that sex equals full sexual intercourse. But porneia, as Peter mentioned in his message, porneia covers the whole gamut. Everything from petting all the way through and everything in between to sexual, full sexual intercourse. And any sexual arousal and genital touching and manipulation by you or anyone else is sex. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Just go one chapter ahead. You're already in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. So when I say sex, and when I, this is how masturbation usually begins. It begins early on. There's sexual arousal there. Some kids get into their parents' porn collections. They begin that way. Ted Bundy said that that's how he started, with his dad's Playboy collection. And of course, by the time he got to the end of his life, he was fried in an electric chair in Florida, and he confessed to James Dobson on, you can get the tape, you can get the videotape, where he says, warn the mothers and fathers to bring their kids up in purity. Tell these kids, warn them, don't get into anything, because pornography leads to worse things, which leads to worse things. And he was so bad and he was so demonized that by the time he got to the end of his last crime, he was actually having sex with corpses. He would kill them, hide the bodies, and he would go back and have sex with the corpses. Called necrophilia, I think it's called. And people, this is bad, but it began with Playboy. It began with masturbating to magazines. That's how serious. See, every sin we commit, as I'm going to mention in my prescription, it adds to one more sin, which adds to one more sin. Ted Bundy said, I heard the interview, he said it was really, really hard killing the first girl. He said, I went home and I washed my hands and I washed everything and I threw my clothes away and I did everything I could think of. But by the time it came to the second and third, it was easier. And by the time after that, it didn't bother me at all. He had seared his conscience with each step of sin and degradation and perversion. Ephesians 6:4 says what? And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the what? Nurture, and I like the King James better in this, nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents are responsible to God for the nurturing. What's nurturing? Make sure they have a nice warm bed, right? Making sure they have food, right? Healthy food, water, milk, cereal in the morning. You know, it's all the nurture that is your life. The proper discipline, proper care. What's admonishing? Admonishing is what? It's mouth. Honey, don't ever do that. Don't even think like that. What are you watching that on television? You should never, ever. It's admonishing. It's reminding them of the truth. We parents are to teach our young ones, warning them of dangers of sexual promiscuity and training them with a fully scriptural worldview of sexual areas, including the great harm. I talking to my son. He says, well, my health teacher said masturbation's okay. I said, well, your health teacher is wrong. He should be teaching health, not morality. And he's wrong. Well, I don't know. What makes you so right? I'm your dad. Doesn't that make anything? I mean, I'm your father. I've studied some of these things. I know what I'm talking about. It leads to major, major, what's the word I can use? Enslavement. Enslavement. People, we as parents are to combat what they learn at school through friends. They're in the third and fourth grade, and they're learning the best porn sites to go to. They're in third and fourth grade. 91% of the Y generation has clicked onto pornography. 91%! And after they click on, guess what they're doing to it? Right? Masturbation plays a huge role in the problem. But explain to our kids how teachers are authority figures, but each one comes with their own worldview. And unless the teachers are born-again Christians, often they'll say things that... there's no such thing as safe sex, right? There's no such thing as safe sex. You cannot have safe sex if it's immoral sex. And it's our jobs as Christians, Christian parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts to go back to the Bible and give good reasons and answers as to how God thinks. Here's lesson number one. Write these lessons down. If you have a piece of paper, you can take these things home with you. Lesson number one. Lesson number one. Here we go. Lesson number one. Know who your children are hanging with. Let's say that together. Know who your children are hanging with. I don't have any children. I'm not married. Well, you know what? You have some children you know at church, don't you? In terms of those you teach in Sunday school or teach or have come to know, warn them. Who's your best friend? Tell me about them. Are they into drugs? Are they into sex? Are they into alcohol? Are they young girls who I call, this is my version of them, I can spot them a mile away, they're sluts in training? You say, well, that's kind of crude. Well, that's what they are. The young men are whoremongers in training, and they're whores in training because the parents aren't leading them right. And you got to warn your children to stay away from those kind of people. Know who your children are hanging with, because... And you can add this if you want, because that's the main point. But this is the reason I'm giving you in lesson one. Because if you don't, the devil would be more than happy to provide. He'll be more than happy to step in and say, oh, I got some friends for them. Yeah, no problem. How many of you here, within the sound of my voice, got into trouble because of friends? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. But just mentally raise your hand. How many of you got into trouble because of your friends? You say, why don't you try just, you ever try something called ecstasy? By the way, the word ecstasy is Greek. It's pure Greek. It means out of your body. See, isn't that interesting? Out of your body. Think about that. Lesson number two. Communicate the truth and get deliverance from demons that block your communication. The average father talks to his children per day for about 10 minutes. And usually it's just stupid conversation. That's sad. You need to talk to your children and ask them pointed questions. Come against demons called blocked parenting, blocked discipline, blocked love, hatred for children. Turn to Proverbs 23:13. Let's get into some more scriptures. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13. Proverbs 23, we're talking about masturbation. It's talking about a real problem that is within even married couples within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who know better. 23:13. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he won't die. Right? How many of your parents came with the paddle or came with some, a wooden spoon or something, right? And man, you would have thought the whole world just died. I mean, the sky fell and everything, right? They haven't even touched you yet. Right? How many did that? That was witchcraft. That was witchcraft. You were trying to control the parent with a sympathetic soul tie to not hurt you, not hit you. That was a demon manifesting. I haven't even touched you yet. I know, but I'm preparing. I don't like this, right? Because I know what the scream's going to be like. But people, we need it. When's the last time you ever did what I did the other day? It took a lot for me to do it. Lord, I need a spanking. Spank me. It's going to make me better for you. Help me. Communicate. Talk to your kids. I saw you with that boy out there at the mall. What were you doing there? Well, we were just around. Well, what'd you do around? Well, we just hung. Well, hung with who? You're not becoming a mall rat, are you? How dare you ask me these questions? Well, I'm your father. I care about you. I need to ask you these questions because no one else cares, so I'm going to care. So your mother and I need to know where you're with, who you're hanging with, and there are consequences for hanging with the wrong people. Well, I don't want you hanging with that person anymore. Who do you think you are? My dad? Yep. Proverbs 13:24 says, and people, this is a hard one. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod, finish it for me. No, you're thinking of Poor Richard's Almanac, Benjamin Franklin. This is what the scripture says. He who spares the rod hates his son. So if you have a problem with, well, you know, Bobby really isn't that bad, and, you know, he's like me, he just made a mistake. You hate your child, and you have hatred for children inside of you operating. So how do you know that? Because the Bible says that you hate your child when you don't. Because a loving parent, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He whoops, he spanks. So if you don't discipline your child effectively and teach them that there's pain connected to sin, you hate your child. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently, faithfully. Some of us, it's the years are gone. We can't do it anymore. We should have spanked him a whole lot harder, right? But you can't do it. And again, I'm not talking abuse. I'm not talking, you know, these idiots in Ohio that put their children in cages in the night. You know, the foster kids in cages. You know, they ought to be put in cages for at least 2 months themselves, I think. And that'll teach them some lessons. It goes out to young people, especially those who are still waiting for God's marriage choice for them, because it's such a battle for their souls and bodies. Wherever you turn, you get on the grocery aisle, you can't get away from Cosmopolitan and these half-dressed women. You go to Walden Books or Media Play, you go to Walmart. It's all over the place. And if it's not in print, it's on live display at school. Because the girls, the sluts in training, they're the ones who are dressing like it. And they're purposefully. We had a couple of parent-teachers conferences last year, and, I mean, why does the teacher need to show her cleavage? And you wonder why some of these teachers are ending up having sex with your kids. People, what does the Bible say? Can a man or woman, a young man or young woman, have victory over these things? And their expression in self-sex? Yes, turn to Genesis 1. Go back to the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1:26. Mark up your Bible. People, you should use your Bible so much that you go through a Bible every year. Wear it out. Mark it up. Let it have torn pages. Let it, you know, what's the saying? A Bible that, how did that go? I put it in one of the bulletins. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Thank you, Mark. You reminded me of the first couple of words. Appreciate that. Got it on tape. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Wear out your Bibles. If the pages are sticking together, you're not using your Bible, right? You got to know the Word of God. Chapter 1 and verse 26, then God said, let us make man. Us? Who's he talking to? Huh? The Jews say, well, he's talking to angels. People, angels had nothing to do with creation of man. He's talking because in the Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, hear Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. Echad is a compound unity. It means there's more than one person there. God is talking to the Son, and the Son's talking to the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them. Look at verse 31. And God saw that all he had made, and behold, it was what? It was okay. Come see, come saw. You know, just could have done better. No. What did he say? He said everything was good up until that point. Then when he created man, it's what? very good. Someday I'll tell you what the Hebrew says when all of a sudden Adam found, the chimps, I love you, but you don't do it for me. The elephants, nice trunk. God, good job. So God says, well, I think you need someone, but I want to show you you need someone. So I wanted to bring you to this point. All right, I need someone. Can you make it for me? All right, get to sleep. By the way, the guy who invented anesthesia, I think it was chloroform, read it in the Bible and said, wait a minute, God put Adam to sleep, so why can't I create something that'll put someone to sleep so we can do surgery on them? So he read the Bible. That's where he got it from. First anesthesia used in human history. Puts Adam to sleep. Guess what happens? He wakes up, and guess who he sees? Yeah, well, it's more than a rib there. Yeah, this was more than a rib there. The Hebrew, I cannot translate other than, wow, what did you do? I think this is better than the elephants. Underline verse 31, and all that was made, and it was very good. So, wait a minute, does it say really say all? Yes, it all. Who created sex? God created sex. Josh McDowell in his tape Maximum Sex says the biggest sex organ in your body is your brain. And God has created you with a mind to be able to be fulfilled in marriage covenant, because marriage is sex is what? In marriage. The confines and the boundaries of marriage. I'm going to get into that in a second. Sex was designed, and God gave it to two people for two purposes. To make precious what? One purpose is to make these little miracles called babies, right? Which is a big responsibility. I've always said when my kids came out of the oven, I thought, man, I thought there was at least some directions. You know, continue baking at 350, put back in for two more days or years. There was nothing. I looked at the toes. There was nothing, no directions or nothing. So I took my daughter, who's now 23, and I gave it to Mar and said, I don't know what to do, punt or what? So I handed it to her and said, what do we do now? Well, we bring her home. Okay, so we put her in the crib, and then I said, well, the refrigerator's in the kitchen, the bathroom's on the left, and we'll see you in about 10 years when you're growing up. No, it doesn't work that way. Kids are a lot of work. And God made sex for two reasons. In covenantal marriage, marital intimacy, for creation of human beings, and for pleasure. Pleasure. Sex was not invented by Louise Ciccone. Louise Ciccone is Madonna. Sex was not invented, no matter what her book says, which she's recanted because she wanted to bring her children up the same way she was living. A little hypocrisy there. It wasn't invented by the Beach Boys. It wasn't invented by Elvis. It wasn't invented by, you name it, Puff Daddy. The Internet didn't invent it. God invented it. Listen, but only within the guardrails of committed covenant marriage partners. I love water in pipes in my home. If I had to go to an outhouse in the wintertime, I wouldn't go. I would just blow up and just, he's gone to heaven. What happened to Pastor John? I don't know, he just blew up. He was standing there in the kitchen, he just blew up. Why? He would not go out in that outhouse in 20 below zero weather. So that's what happened to him. Last week he was there, and then he was not. People, we have water bringing pipes in our homes so we can go into nice warm bathrooms and take nice warm showers, right? And brush our nice warm teeth. No, not warm. Brush our teeth. Water brings pipes. But what happens with Hurricane Katrina when water is outside the pipes? Destruction, right? If your pipe is ever broken in your home, it's done nothing but destroy. And that's what I'm saying. Sex within the confines and boundaries of pipes in marriage, you're fine. Man, you look at Katrina, and they're going to take years to rebuild. Fire in a fireplace. I love warm, winter, nice cozy winter nights in front of a fireplace. I don't have one, so I just created a little bonfire in my living room, and that did not work out too well, people. So learn from my mistakes. Right? The drapes lit up. This is fun. It's nice and warm. People, some of you are looking at me like I really did that. People, come on. It brings nothing but destruction, right? You keep the fire in the fireplace, and isn't it nice? Honey, get a hot dog or a marshmallow or something. We're going to roast some Hebrew Nationals here. But what happens when the fire jumps out of the fireplace? You're without a home. You're on the street, and you're saying, what happened? This is crazy. Lesson three. Here we go. Lesson three. God has designed sex not for self-pleasure, but for two people's pleasure in marriage covenant. And by the way, any idiot, did I say idiot? Let me rephrase that. Any idiot that tells you that, we decided just to live together. Quote Pastor John, you're an idiot. Because the Bible, God, does not recognize cohabitation as marriage. New York State, you can live together, and you know, after a year, you're married, as far as the state's concerned. That's not what God's Word says. God's Word says what? Male and female, under God, in covenant, making vows to one another for commitment for life. Not until, I don't feel like it anymore. Or not until I want to trade the old model in at Sears. Right? For life. Next time they say, well, it's only a piece of paper, say, well, yeah, so is a $100,000 bill, but if you have one, I wouldn't mind taking one from you. Would you have $100,000 bill? I'll break it for you, no problem. So is the Constitution a piece of paper, right? But it's a whole lot more than a piece of paper. Go and try and borrow it for a little while and see how far you get out of the National Archives building before you're shot dead on arrival. People. God has designed sex not for marriage, not for self-pleasure, but for marriage in two people in marriage covenant. Bob Larson, The Secret Sin, says, and I quote, I've yet to meet, listen, this is good. I've yet to meet any homosexual who did not practice masturbation before becoming a homosexual. Almost without exception, they can trace their sexual problems back to this secret sin. Bob says, many of them I've counseled have pleaded with me, Bob, whatever you do, Bob, please warn teenagers never to begin this terrible habit. And if they have, to stop. If I had not, I might have never given in to homosexual advances from other men my age and other men older than me. End quote. You see where it could lead people? You might end up 20 years from now calling your pastor or calling your father and saying, Dad, I haven't seen you or talked to you for 20 years, and I got AIDS, and I'm dying in a hospital. I went gay, and it wasn't too fun. And it started where? In bed, at home, alone, at night, under the covers, masturbating. That's where it begins. In deliverance ministry, in this missing one-third of Jesus ministry, we've discovered homosexual spirits have even entered through not just masturbation, but they entered through homosexual artists who are open, you know, openly homosexual. The demons come in. They've also come in through masturbation. Let me tell you why. Because you are sexually being turned on by your own gender genitalia. And I can't put it any more graphic than that. Danger. Dangerous. They are ticking time bombs. In computer language, Trojans. Do you know what a Trojan is? Something that gets into your computer, right? Gets into the hard drive, and it later you pay the price. 1 Thessalonians 4, let's turn to it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 8. 1 Thess 4, verses 3 through 8. Listen to what he says. Consequently, He's talking about the truth that he shared. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. When we reject what God's Word says, we're rejecting God. We're not rejecting Pastor so-and-so thinks he knows it all, or my dad who doesn't know, my mother who they don't understand what. That's what my sons tell me. My sons tell me, well, you know, you never grew up like that, like us, and you know, you never faced all the stuff we face, and you know, they back in your day, they didn't know anything, kind of a thing. I said, Ashley, how old do you think I am? I'm not that old. I'm not as old as Frank. Right? I remember when the Dead Sea was dead. In fact, I did swim in it when I was in Israel in November, and at the lowest point on the planet. But seriously, I said, Ashley, you know, we've been around. We had drugs in our day. We had things that I could have done that I made tacit choices not to do. I wouldn't work on Sundays because I wanted to be at church. I wouldn't work Wednesdays, even though I needed the money. My mother kept telling me, why are you giving all your money away for? You're sending it off to this ministry. You're sending that. You make $20, $17 for mowing, and you give it all away. Why do you do that? You tithe to the church, and you give most of it away. Why? You need money. Why? You know, you need spending money. I said, well, I just do it. That's the way I've been. God has blessed me for it. I'm not ashamed of it. And neither should you be. Look what he says. 1 Thess 4. Whoops, I was on the right verse, but I got to go back up. Let's put it in reverse. Ready? No, that's a stop one. Somebody put it in reverse for me. Yeah, forget it. Verse 3. At least it kept you awake. Verse 3. For this is the will of God. All right, I'm sitting up. I'm listening. What's the will of God? Your sanctification. That's God's process of making you and I holy. That is, specifically, that you abstain from porneia. That you abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain means none. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor. Not in lustful passion of lust, like the Goyim, the Gentiles, who do not know God, the non-Christians, pagans, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these in all these things. You know, a special curse, there's a curse in the Old Testament that talks about the curse of seeing your brother or sister naked. There's a curse of wanting to see their nakedness, so you get them drunk. That's got to be confessed as sin, people, and that curse has got to be broken in Jesus' name. A lot of women get, you know, the guys get them drunk, and yeah, more wine, sure. And you know what they're looking for. You know what they want. You know what they're searching for. Don't defraud your brother or sister, because the Lord will avenge, just as we also told you, verse 6 before, and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. We're in the sphere of more and more holy, more and more set apart for him. And if you reject this, he says, you're rejecting God, the Holy Spirit, and you're not just rejecting us as people. Listen, please, just like all of us today, real believers had all too real problems and real questions about the area of sex. We're not too shy away from talking about it, confronting it, you know, right down the gullet, I don't know, right head on. The church, I think, should be at the forefront of addressing it, which is why I'm happy for, you know, every man's battle, every woman's battle, and so forth. Purity principle. If pastor teachers have a top five questions people ask lists, this one would be right up there. What does God want me to do with my life? Right? How many ever wondered about that? What's God's will for my life? People, if you do what God's Word says, it says this is God's will, you'll be doing God's will for your life. You know, it's like sitting in the forest. I don't see the forest. You're right in the middle of all the trees. I don't see. You're peeking, you know, behind it. I don't see any forest here. People, if you're doing God's will, what God says, this is the will of God, there's three or four scriptures that say that specifically, you'll be doing God's will. You don't have to worry about, well, should I be a nurse, or should I be a doctor, or should I be a counselor, or what, should I go to the mission field, should I be a pastor, teacher, what should I do? You'll be doing it, and God will show you the rest. Young person, middle-aged person, young, also Frank, young at heart person. God's word clearly states at least five things that we know to be the will of God, and this is one of them. Abstain from sex, sexual immorality. He's not talking to husbands and wives there in the confine of a marriage. And if you get those things down, those four or five things, this is the will of God, you'll be fine. And God will show you the rest as you trust him. So in the form of an equation for you mathematicians, the will of God equals being holy, set apart, separated from pure, for a pure and holy lifestyle, avoiding all sexual immorality. I mean, how clear can you get? Not living like the unsaved world that masturbates so much of the time. Christians are to not, if the world cohabits and lives together. Christians do not. By the way, your divorce rate incredibly skyrockets if you live together before marriage. If the world parties and raves, true Christians don't. If the world watches MTV or VH1 or VH2 or BET, Black Entertainment television music videos, you don't. I don't. Why? Because it destroys us and will ultimately bring us to physical death and the sin unto death if we're not careful. Look at verse 4. Learn how to what? Possess your own vessel. Learn how to control, manage your own body. Response? I don't want to, or I don't believe you. My reply? Don't believe me. Believe God, because that's who you're ultimately rejecting. Plus, you do not want God mad. How many want God mad at them? You want God upset? You want God gunning for you? Because you will not and will never win against his power. Lesson number 4. Your arms are too short to box with God. Say it with me. Now let's make it personal. My arms are too short to box with God. You're not going to win. Let me just tell you in advance, you won't win, and neither will I. Well, Pastor John, you've convinced me, but how can I overcome this thing? All right, I know what's wrong. I want to stop doing it. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to be pure. All right, number one, here we go. This isn't lesson, this is point one. You must finally come to grips with whose you are. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Let's run over to there. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Whose are you? Whose are you? Whose are you? 19. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and therefore you're not your own? So whose are you? I can tell you whose you aren't. You're not yours. If you're a Christian, you don't belong to yourself. So who do I belong to? Verse 20. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Glorify God with your body. If I had a pencil here, let's say I gave Alan my pencil, and I said, anybody have a pencil I can borrow? And I took Alan's pencil, and I took it, and I snap, and I threw it on the floor, and I went, and you'd say, but what if I said, wait a minute, that's my pencil, Alan just gave it to me. You say, oh, well, it's yours, you can do what you want with it. But I have no right to take Alan's pencil and destroy it. You don't have a right to destroy Jesus' body, and that's you. Because when we came to Christ, we became property of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Please repeat this with me. I am not my own. My body's been purchased with the blood of Jesus. Everything I do with my body, or let anyone else do with my body, should always honor God. Amen. People, you can't get much simpler than that. Lesson number 5. Here it is. This is not point 5. It's lesson 5. When I got saved, I lost the title to my own life. And I have no rights to do what I want to do with my body. When I got saved, I lost the title to my body and to my life. And I don't have any right to do what I want with my body. Number 2, here we go. How do I get a grip on this? What do I do? Well, number 1, you've got to come to grips with whose you are. You don't belong to yourself. Number 2, understand it's going to catch up with you. And just write these down. Galatians 6, 7, and 9. You know, every what you sow is exactly what you're going to reap. If you constantly just sow to sex, listen to sex music, listen, watch sex video, watch sex this, sex that, sex that, you know what you're going to sow? Death. Because the one who sows to the physical body and the loss reaps death. If you sow to the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, and spiritual part of you, you'll reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, 7 and 9. Numbers 32, 23. You can turn that by yourself. Numbers 32, 23. It's going to catch up with you sooner or later. That's what I'm saying. That's point two. And one of Satan's chief lies is that, go ahead, no one's watching. You can get away with it. People, he's lying to you and to me. Because I know at least six eyeballs that are watching. The Godhead, and there's probably a couple of hundred in the spirit realm that are watching you. That would be 50 demons. You got some angels watching you with their swords. And they're backing off you because it's like, uh-oh, there they go again. You got a whole spirit dimension watching you. And I think of David the king with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was wrong because she was, bathing nude as a beautiful woman in where the king could look and see. He was wrong for looking. Women, there's a difference between between attracting and being attractive. If you dress to attract, there's a problem. If you're attractive in the sense of you're dressing modestly, like Peter spoke about, and you're being what the Lord would be proud of and pleased with, then you're fine. Watch how you conduct yourselves so you're not making it more difficult for male Christians to live their lives. Number three, recognize that masturbation is a gateway sin. You've heard of gateway drugs? Guess what? Masturbation is a gateway sin to much greater sin and much greater problems. Alcorn says in his Purity Principle, masturbation is fueled by a roving eye and an undisciplined mind. Psalm 119:11. You can write that down. Psalm 119:11, Psalm 119:37. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. How shall a man cleanse his way? By keeping God's word. Write also Job 31:1, making a covenant with his eyes, and 2 Corinthians 10:5. Lust is like fire. When you feed it, all it wants is more and different. It's never satisfied. And I just want to read what happened to Eric. How sad. I take this right out of the Purity Principle. Let me just read it to you. Eric stormed into my office, Pastor Alcorn says, and flopped into a chair. I'm really mad at God. Oh, well, this is different, Eric. What's going on here? Having grown up in a strong church family, he had met and married a Christian girl. Now he was the picture of misery. Okay, so why are you mad at God? Because last week I cheated on my wife. I committed adultery. What? Long pause. Finally, I said, I can see why God would be mad at you, but why are you mad at God? Eric explained that for several months he'd felt a strong mutual attraction with a woman in his office. He'd prayed earnestly that God would keep him from immorality. I asked him, did you ask your wife to pray for you? Did you stay away from the woman? She went to the water fountain. Did you leave the water fountain? Well, no. In fact, we went out for lunch almost every day. Brain dead. Something stupid here. Slowly, I started pushing a big book across my desk. Eric watched. I'm comprehending, wondering, what is he up to? As the book inched closer and closer to the edge, I prayed, Lord, please keep this book from falling. I kept pushing, and I prayed again. You guessed what happened. I pushed it off. Boo! I looked at Eric and I said, Eric, God didn't suspend the law of gravity for me because I prayed. Instead, it hit the floor just the way he created things to happen when you do certain things. Well, I'm mad at God. I asked him to keep my book from falling, but he let me down, Eric. To this day, I can still hear the sound of that book hitting the floor. Years later, it was a picture of young Eric's life, gifted, blessed, so much potential. But his story didn't end that day. You see, because what started out with masturbation years before eventually he became a sexual predator, molesting his own daughter. He's been in prisons for some years now, repentant but suffering the consequences of inching his life toward the edge until gravity just took over. I got one more story. It has to do with Tiffany and Kyle. What are their names? Tiffany and Kyle. Can you imagine the police pulling up to Eric's house and saying you're under arrest? Your wife has reported you? Where did it begin? Tiffany and Kyle's even just as bad. Maybe there's a Tiffany and Kyle you know in your church, or you've met, maybe even here. Tiffany and Kyle also grew up in the church. When the youth pastor warned against premarital sex, they had trouble taking him seriously. Their movies, their TV, their music focused on what they were going to do anyway because it felt good. One night after youth group, Tiffany gave in to Kyle. His advances kept going and going until she just says, all right. She says it was painful, it was nauseating, and nothing like in the movies. Afterward, she felt terrible. But Kyle was mad at her because she wasn't supposed to let it happen. This is the way guys think. Boy, does sin screw up your thinking, doesn't it? Tiffany started sleeping around after that. She deserved it because look what she turned up as now. She was trying to find a guy who would really love her. You know what? She never did. They just used her night after night and they moved on. They got what they wanted. So she quit going to church. One day she found out she was pregnant and with child. A friend drove her to an abortion clinic. Now she's plagued by dreams about the child she never had. Tiffany could turn to Christ, he would forgive her, but her heart is so broken and she's so hardened by the sin and the choices that she doesn't believe God's going to love her. She doesn't believe God really cares. Because why would he let this happen? She's already attempted suicide. She's on drugs. She's a hooker. She's been raped repeatedly. And recently she had another abortion. When you look in her eyes are dead. And so is her hope. Kyle? What happened to Kyle? She gave in to him. Remember? Years before. Kyle's lost interest in spiritual things. He's at college now and he's a self-proclaimed atheist. He's had sex with a lot of girls there. He's having fun. But he still feels an emptiness, though he experiments with anything he thinks might bring him happiness. People, those are true stories right out of the purity principle that I just shared with you. How tragic. How tragic. But these things are not uncommon. These things go on all the time. And what if you could go, Peggy, to Tiffany and say, Tiffany, God does love you. And these demons are eating your lunch. They're eating you alive. But you need to repent, sister. Come on, let's talk. And she starts breaking down the walls and begins to open up. God will forgive you for the abortions, for your murdering two babies. He loves you, but you got to come to him. We can do that, people. We have answers for these Christians that are being told that, well, go to a psychiatrist, go to some Christian psychologist, go to visit so-and-so. People, we have hope. Amen, Pastor Mobley? Amen? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer. Father, what do you do with Eric? What do you do with Tiffany and Kyle? But love them and let them know that they can get help and that there is a God who cares, that, Father, you love them so much that you gave your only begotten Son for them. And sin was so bad that when he cried out from the cross and cried, being abandoned by your person, by you, because you could not look on the sin that he took on himself, the sins of the world, that one prayer you never answered him. My God, why have you forsaken me? And it was because of our sin, my sin, everyone's sin here, whether masturbation, selfish sex, or everything in between, to rape, and all that was borne by Messiah on the cross, who didn't even deserve it, who had done no wrong. That is love. Father, thank you for loving us. And we praise the Lord Jesus, who is ever our high priest at your right hand, for loving us with the love of Calvary. Father, help us to open our mouths, get the message out. Holy Spirit, do what you will with us tonight. Free us from these masturbation strongholds, the selfishness and the roots of hurt and deep hurt and rejection and so forth. We ask these things in the mighty name of our Messiah and Lord Jesus. Amen.